I'm not going to preach long. I want you to take your Bibles just a few minutes. Acts chapter number 16. The book of Acts chapter number 16. Most of you know that I preach. You probably heard me tell this before. I preach with a cough drop in my mouth. It's right here between my cheek and gum. So if it looks like I have something else in there, I am from the state of North Carolina as well. But it's a cough drop. I promise you it is. But I preach with a cough drop for two reasons. Number one, it keeps my throat moist. I slobber and spit, and y'all will probably get spit on today. If you do, just think it's holy water, and we'll be okay. And number two, that keeps my throat moist. Number two, I can't always see my hands on my watch because I'm getting old and blind. So when the cough drop dissolves, I don't chew it, so it'll dissolve on its own in about 20 minutes. And preacher, that's when I know I'm done. About 20 minutes, 25 minutes maybe. My wife says, one of these days you're going to reach in your pocket and grab a button. And we're going to be here all day. But it is a joy to be here at the Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. Preacher, we love coming every year. Thank you so much. And I know most of you are probably going to bring the preacher a bag of cough drops next Sunday. It is a joy and honor and privilege to get to be here. Thank y'all so much for letting us come. We love this place. Man, I walked in today, and honestly, I don't know what was different about it, preacher, but the smell of cedar just protruded this place. I mean, it smelled so good. Honest to goodness, I just wanted to go up and just love on the wood and hug on it just a little while. It smelled so good in here. But it is a blessing to be here. Acts chapter number 16, y'all know the story here. The end of chapter number 15, Paul chooses Silas to go on Paul's second missionary journey. And they come in and they find Timothy right off the bat, chapter number 16. Timothy being Paul's son in the faith. And they converse for a little while. Then the Holy Ghost of God speaks to Paul. And they wind up going through a bunch of cities, wind up in Philippi. Over in Europe, they meet the first convert in Europe by the name of Lydia. Paul sees that vision from that man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And Paul determines in his heart and his mind, that's where we're going. Somebody's calling for help. That's where we're going to go. We're going to go help that man. Let me say, that missionary vision is still as real today as it ever has been. There's people right here in the city of Spruce Pine that are saying, come over here and help us. We need to try to do all we can to get the gospel to this lost and dying world, because there is a need out there. They've not heard any truth from anywhere else, but they can hear the truth from the Word of God. They can hear the gospel, which is the absolute truth, how that Christ died, was buried, and He rose again for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. That is what our mission ought to be, is to get the gospel around the world. Starting here in Jerusalem, right here at the house. Judea a little bit further out, and Samaria a little bit further out, and in the other most parts of the world. But we ought to focus our mission right here to our family and our friends right here that's lost and dying and going to hell right here in this area. But Paul and Silas wind up at Philippi, and they are preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says about verse number 16 that a woman with the spirit of divination starts to follow them. The Bible lets us know that this lady is a soothsayer. And it also lets us know that with her demonic possession, that she is able to make her masters much gain. She's making her masters a lot of money by telling stories and fables and sooths and sayings and all whatever kind of stuff she's doing. Fortune telling, whatever it is she's doing. And she is following Paul and Silas around while they're preaching. And she is making some really good statements about Paul and Silas. She said they're preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're trying to tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's making some really good statements. But she's not making these statements to encourage Paul and Silas. She is making these statements to mock them and make fun of them. And the Bible says after many days, Paul is grieved in his heart. And he just gets sick and tired of it, and he looks at the woman, and in the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he cast the demon out of that woman. And her masters realize, we just lost our gravy train. We just lost our meal ticket. We just lost our funds. And they bring Paul and Silas before the rulers of the city, and they make this statement: these men trouble our city. These men have troubled our city. And without any kind of trial, preacher, without any kind of just due process, these men, these rulers of the city, commenced to beat Paul and Silas. All for doing right. For doing what God has called them to do. Let me let you know, if you're out telling the name of Jesus, it doesn't matter if you're at the schoolhouse, it doesn't matter if you're at work, it doesn't matter if you're at Walmart, it doesn't matter if you're down on City Square, people are not going to like it. They are going to be offended by this Word of God, this Bible that we carry, the words that the Lord has to say. They are going to be offended, and don't be surprised if they don't mock you, and if they don't persecute you, and if they don't riddle you, and if they don't make fun of you, all for doing right. We've not seen persecution as of yet, but don't think that it may not come down the pipe in the next. But November's going to make a big statement right here in our country, and it could make the difference of whether you're going to be arrested, your pastor's going to be arrested for thus proclaiming what the Word of God has said. Persecution can and may be coming just right around the curve, and don't be surprised if your neighbors don't like the message you have to tell. Don't be surprised if your co-workers don't like to tell the message you have to tell. The young people that were up here singing a while ago, don't be surprised if your school don't like the message you have to tell. They may commence to try to beat you for doing right, doing what God has called you to do. But they're not only beaten, they're thrown in prison. They're put in jail. And the Bible lets us know in one part of Scripture that it's the inner part of the prison. But the Bible says in verse number 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Let me say, prayer is not our last resort. It ought not be us trying to fix it in our own strength, in our own might, in our own power, and then failing miserably. And then a few days down the road, even a few hours down the road, even a few minutes down the road, we decide, well, maybe we ought to pray. No, prayer ought to be the first thing we do. Prayer ought to be the very first. It's the most powerful weapon we have in this fight against the things of this world. If we serve a God who hears and answers our prayer, and that ought to be the first thing we as the people of God a resort to doing. It's calling out on God, whether the bad times are here or not. Every decision we make, everywhere we go, every meal we have, everything God has blessed us with and will bless us with, we ought to pray about everything. The Bible is full of verses about ceasing to pray and not ceasing to pray and not fainting and not pray. The Bible is full of these verses on prayer. Prayer is the strongest weapon that we as the people of God have, and that ought to be the first thing that we do, is pray. And the Bible lets us know that at midnight Paul and Silas are praying, but that's not the only thing they're doing. The Bible says, and they sang praises unto God. And I'm particularly interested in the last line of that verse, preacher. God is specific in His details. He lets us know that all the prisoners heard them. All the prisoners heard them. Now think about this prison for just a couple minutes, and I'm fully aware of what time it is. You don't have to do this. I know exactly. It's only 5 minutes to 9 in California. So we got a long time here before it's late over there. But I'm thinking about this prison that Paul and Silas are cast in. I'm pretty sure the heading in my Bible says that this takes place in A.D. 53. And preacher, I'm pretty sure that A.D. 53 prison and 2024 prison are two different scenarios. It's probably different today and night. I can imagine that A.D. 53 prison, it's probably roach infested. It's probably disease infested. There's probably rats. There's probably all kinds of critters hanging around. There's probably no light in this prison. It's midnight. I doubt there's many torches hanging around, preacher, because it seemed like criminals and fire wouldn't be a good combination. So I don't think there's much light in this prison. Paul and Silas are sitting there and they're beaten. They're probably sitting in their own blood. I doubt there's any kind of Tylenol or Aleve or Advil or ibuprofen. I doubt there's any kind of much good water. I doubt there's any kind of much good food. And Paul and Silas are sitting there probably in pain. I doubt there's any kind of medical facility. I doubt they've been put any kind of mercurochrome or methylate, what mama used to use, or peroxide or alcohol on their wounds. I'm pretty sure they're sitting there with these open wounds, sitting there in their own blood, and they probably could be as miserable as any two people could possibly be. But I'm wondering, what song are they singing? What kind of song are they singing? Music is powerful. It don't matter where you are. You can be in an elevator and catch yourself tapping your toe to the music that's going on over the speakers. You can be shopping. You can be at the hospital. Just about everywhere you go. Restaurants, eating, preacher. Music is powerful. And I'm wondering, Paul and Silas sitting in all this misery in this jail, all this pain in this jail, all this filth in this jail. And the Bible says that they're praying and they're singing praises unto God. And I'm wondering, what song are they singing? If that's me, I'm probably singing Preacher the Old Hee-Haw tune. Because I don't have my halo on this morning. Y'all do. But I'm probably sitting in that jail and I'm probably singing gloom, despair, and agony on me. I'd have probably hit the second line. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all, and I'd have been that fella, that old big fella in the overalls, and I'd have probably screamed out, whoa, gloom, despair, and agony on me. That's probably how I'd have been sitting in that jail cell. But not Paul and Silas. And I know most of you's thinking, well, this is the Apostle Paul. He's not supposed to have gloom, despair, and agony on me on his mind. No, Paul was beaten. He was beaten, I think the Bible says, 2 or 3 times. 40 stripes, save one. 39 stripes across his back. 2 or 3 different times. He was shipwrecked. He was left for dead. He was stoned. Everything that could possibly happen, happened in the life of the Apostle Paul. But yet here, in this prison episode in his life, you don't hear Paul singing gloom, despair, and agony on me. Paul was a man just like I am. He has made the same flesh and blood that I am. And Paul could have easily said, Lord, I don't deserve this. I'm going to walk away from this. I'll not proclaim Jesus. But the Bible doesn't let us know that Paul is backing up. He's not sitting down. He's not shutting up. The Bible says he and Silas are praying and they're singing praises unto God. And real specifically, everybody's hearing them. And I'm wondering, church, what kind of song are they singing? And I'm asking you, in light of everything that's going on in this world, in light of the storms, troubles, heartaches, trials you may be going through, I'm asking you, what kind of song are you singing? Number one, I believe it was a song of inspiration. Now, with what they're facing, preacher, they need some encouragement. I doubt they're getting it from the prison people. I doubt they're getting it from the guard. I doubt they're getting it from the rulers. We know they're not getting it from the rulers because the rulers have beat them and put them down in here. So they probably thinking about what David said over in the book of Psalms. David said, I need to encourage myself in the Lord. And I believe they might have struck up the AD 53 version of I Feel Like Traveling On. Or they might have hit the AD 53 version of God's Been Good. Or they may be singing the AD 53 version of Victory in Jesus. They need some encouragement. They're not getting it from nobody else. And they realize the God that's living down inside of them is bigger than their circumstance. It's bigger than their pain. It's much bigger than anything they're facing in this life. And they saying, hey, we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We're going to sing a song of inspiration. And they're singing and they're praying and they're singing and they're encouraging themselves in the Lord because they're singing a song, I believe, of inspiration. But not only a song of inspiration, number two, I believe they're singing a song of adoration. The Bible lets us know they're singing praises unto Him. I heard the story of a Hispanic missionary from Mexico. He came over, this has been several years ago, came to either New Mexico preacher or Arizona to preach a missions conference. A friend of ours was in the service. And this friend of ours said, this Hispanic missionary looked out at all those Americans. And he said, you Americans have got it wrong. He said, you Americans preach to God and sing to people. He said, but that's backwards. He said, what we need to be doing is preaching to people and singing to God. Because God inhabits our praise. And they're thinking, hey, God, we know You know where we are. God, we know You know we're in this prison. We know that You're in control of all things. We know that You have us here for a reason. And we're going to hear about what that reason is in just a little while. And they said, God, it doesn't matter what our circumstances are. Circumstances are not going to affect our joy. It may affect our happiness, but it's not going to affect our joy. We're going to sing praises unto You. We know that You're in charge. We know that You hear us. We know that You inhabit our praise. The Bible lets us know where two or three are gathered together in My name. And I believe right there in the midst of that jailhouse, they're singing praises of adoration unto God. And they're saying, God, You know where we are, but we're still going to praise You. They're singing songs of inspiration. I believe they're singing songs of adoration. Number three, they're singing songs of demonstration. Right in the middle of our singing. Right in the middle of their singing, preacher. The Bible says an earthquake hits. Now, I've always heard this all my life. That God looked over the banister of heaven. I don't know how true that is, preacher. God's too big. I don't believe there's a banister big enough for Him to look over. But if that saying is true, I believe God looked over and said, hey, I hear my boys praying. I hear my boys praising Me in song, and I'm just going to show them what I can do because they're praying and because they're praising Me with song. God said, I'm going to show them what I can do. And the Bible says that God sent an earthquake. God demonstrated His power in an earthquake. But the strange thing about this earthquake is nothing is destroyed. The walls don't fall in. The place is not swallowed up in the ground. The roof doesn't cave in. Nobody dies. The only two things that happen are the bonds are let go and the doors are open. And let me let you know, when you pray and you sing praises unto God, God will demonstrate some specific power in your life. God will show Himself real in your life. God will do things that will amaze you when you pray and when you sing praises unto Him. And these fellas said, we need to see God move. We need to see God do a work. And God demonstrated His power in their life specifically, and He sent an earthquake. They were singing a song of inspiration. Singing a song of adoration. Singing a song of demonstration. But number four, they're singing a song of fascination. Now let me preface this by saying, I've never been in prison. Never been to prison, never done anything, or never got caught doing anything. Let me put it like that. I never got caught doing some things that I should have went to prison for. But knowing me like I know me, preacher, if I'm in that prison guilty for doing crimes, murder, stealing, whatever the case may be, and I know that I'm going to have to stand before a judge, and I'm going to have to hear the gavel come down and say, you're guilty, execution, you're guilty, you have to spend life in prison, and I'm standing there and I realize that my bonds are loose, I'm not chained to a wall anymore. And if I look and see an open door, guess who's not sticking around for the trial? I'm going to be what they call a fugitive of the law. I'm headed to Mexico somewhere. I'm getting out of there. But not these boys. I don't know how many there was. Must have been several because the Bible uses the word all the prisoners heard them, preacher, and just as sure as I'm standing, their bonds were loose. And the same doors that were open for Paul and Silas are open to these boys. But not near one of them leaves. I believe they probably thinking within their own minds and their own hearts, fellas, we saw a popcorn machine down there at the cafeteria earlier today. Somebody go down there and get that popcorn machine fired up. Bring some extra butter and some extra salt. We need to eat some popcorn while we watch the rest of the show. We want to see what else God's going to do. These boys are praying. These boys are praising God. God has done a miracle by sending an earthquake in this place. We all felt the earthquake, but the only thing that happened was the bonds are loose and the doors are open. We need to stick around and see what else God's going to do next. These fellas know God. These fellas have been in contact with God. God has demonstrated His specific power in their lives. We need to stick around and see what else is going to take place. And friend, I want to show, when God uses and shows up with His specific power in your life, while you're praying and while you're praising Him, it will fascinate you. It ought to fascinate everybody around you. It ought to fascinate your home. It ought to fascinate your church. God can do some fascinating things in your life and mine that makes us want to stick around and see what God's going to do next, because God is an awesome and a fascinating God. But I think that's what the problem is in our day and hour, is we've lost the wonder of how fascinating God is. We've lost the wonder of how amazing, preacher, that our God is. But I want you to know, God can not only show up in your times of trouble, He can show up when you're up there on the mountain, when everything is going good. Our God can show some fascinating things right here in the service today, next Sunday, last Sunday, Sunday a month from now, Sunday 2 months from now, preacher. God can do some fascinating things. And I'm encouraging you, stick around and see what else God's going to do next, because God can work a miracle in your life. God can demonstrate power in your life. God can do some fascinating things. And these boys are standing there eating their popcorn, and they say, what's next? What's next? What's next? We want to see what else God can do. They sang a song of inspiration. They're singing songs of adoration. They're singing songs of demonstration. They're singing songs of fascination. But I got 28 more to go. Number five, I believe they're singing songs of conviction. This story, parts of it blow my mind, preacher. That Philippian jailer, I don't have a clue what he's heard. I don't even know if he knows that an earthquake is taking place. But he does know that the doors are open. And that bonds are loose. Now how he knows that in the darkness, I have no idea. And the Bible says that he draws his sword to kill himself. Now this is one of the most miraculous things we're going to have to find out when we get to heaven. I want to ask Paul personally. Paul, how'd you know this Philippian jailer was about to kill himself? Because I'm telling you, it's dark. It's midnight. They're in the inner court of the prison, inside the prison walls. And I'm wondering how Paul knows, preacher, that this fellow's about to kill himself. Only heaven will reveal how Paul knew that. Maybe Paul heard the sword come out of the sheath. Maybe Paul knows the law, and he does, that if one prisoner's gone, this Philippian jailer has to kill himself, or his life has to be taken, a life for a life. If he loses one prisoner, that means he has to die. Maybe Paul just knows the law, but it's amazing that this Philippian jailer is about to kill himself, and Paul hollers out, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And Paul might have threw in, these boys over here eating popcorn. They want to see what's going to happen next. But that Philippian jailer, without any gospel being preached at this time, preacher, Paul does not open his mouth about the death, the burial, the resurrection. But I believe Paul has told this man when he first come in contact with him, because every time Paul met somebody, his story went to the Damascus Road. And how Paul was knocked off his beast and that light shone from heaven. And Paul's asking, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" I believe everybody he come in contact with, that's where his story went. So evidently, Paul has witnessed to this man. But in this portion of Scripture, There's no mention of Jesus Christ or the gospel. But yet this man, because Paul and Silas are praying, and because Paul and Silas are singing praises unto God, Paul knows he's there for a reason. And he's getting ready to find out what this reason is. And this reason is the soul of this Philippian jailer. That Philippian jailer falls on his face, I believe under deep conviction, without a word being said. And Paul asks the question, the most important question that's ever been asked by mankind. The most important question that you'll ever ask in your life. Either you have asked it or you need to ask it. That question is, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And just the message from this pastor, it's not be baptized. It's not join the Bethel Missionary Baptist Church. It's not let your good outweigh your bad, because there's none good. No, not one. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not being some kind of club or whatever, give until it hurts. No, he gave him the only answer that could help, and that's the only answer that still works today. The only answer that will help your never dying soul. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It worked in the Philippian jailer's day. It works in my day. It worked in Adam's day. It works in my day. It worked in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's day. It'll still work today. If you're going to make it to heaven, you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the only thing that will help him, is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul and Silas gave him the only answer that he needed to hear was believe. Believe. Mally, I want you to go to the piano. I want you to play that He Knows My Name again. Number 6. They were singing a song of inspiration and adoration and demonstration, fascination and conviction. But number 6, I believe they're singing a song about salvation. It's already worked in the life of this Philippian jailer. And it's evident just by reading the next few verses, preacher, that this Philippian jailer is not the man in charge. He's not the one making the executive decisions as far as what to do with Paul and Silas, because the Bible says the next day, the rulers of the city send word to this Philippian jailer to let these men go. So it's evident this Philippian jailer is not the high man on the totem pole. But in this instance right here, I believe this Philippian jailer said, I'm making the executive decision. I don't care if it costs me my job nor my life. We need this at my house. I need this at my house. And this Philippian jailer, preacher, I believe he risked it all by washing those stripes of those prisoners, Paul and Silas. And the Bible says that he took them home with him. He took salvation to his house. And the Bible says that his whole house got saved. Let me let you know, mamas and daddies, it's worth every bit you have to put in to see them grandbabies saved, to see them sons and daughters saved. It's worth every time, every bit of time, and every bit of money you spend. It's worth facing ridicule. It's worth facing persecution to get salvation to your house. We need to let this world know that Christ died for sinners, and we need it at our house. Everybody in here, you need it at your house. You need it in your family's life. You need it in your co-worker's life. You need it in your neighbor's life. It's worth getting salvation to everybody that'll hear the gospel. But I'm wondering, to this lost and dying world, when they see you down there at the Kentucky Fried Chicken, what song are you singing? It ought to be the greatest joy of our lives to go out in this world and show them, not just tell them, but show them how good God is. The song on your lips speaks volumes. If you're singing that gloom, despair, and agony on me, this world's not going to want it. But if you're singing praises unto Him, if you're showing this world that salvation will work anywhere, any place, any time, no matter if you're in the prison of life, the bonds can be free. The doors can be open. And this lost and dying world can be set free. by us praying and singing praises unto God. We're going to stand all over the building, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want y'all to come on and sing this song. Mal is going to sing this song again. He knows my name. You may be in that prison today. You may be bound by sin. You may be locked up in the walls of your sin. Let me let you know. The question you need to ask is, what must I do to be saved? And the answer ought to be from everybody in the building that knows Christ as their Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Maybe you're here today and you are saved. You're a little bit out of tune. Maybe you just need to come to an altar and tune up and say, God, help me with the song on my lips. Whatever the case may be, today's the day to do business with God. If God's going to move in our country, if God's going to move in our church, if God's going to move in our home, we need to get serious about this thing. Praying, singing praises unto our God. Lord, I want to thank you for this day. God, I bless your name for being so good to us. Thank you for allowing us to be in this place with these people. And God, right now, I pray that you'd have your way in this invitation. Touch hearts and change lives as only you can do. And God, everything that's done, help us to give you every bit of praise and honor and glory, because you're worthy. In Christ's name.